everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 149 for the 22nd of October, 2011. And I would like to gladly report that the world is still here. And I am joined via Skype with Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
Yeah, how's it going?
Yeah, how's it going, dude? Yeah, right. And Richard Gray, how are you?
Corker, mate.
Now, we were supposed to all be in studio today, but
I've never done it before. I'll never do it again.
I was about to say that was you're going to give Australia a bad name with that one.
It's truth, yeah.
it's bloody gross, mate.
I'll go back to my normal voice now.
All right. So, as I said just in the introduction there, it is the 22nd of October, and the world is still here, guys. Harold Camping was wrong again.
He's, you know.
Fuck that guy. He doesn't know shit.
You know what? If he wants his world to end that badly, I'm sure we can make it happen for him.
What was his.
That is in no way to be construed as a threat.
There is actually a behavior policy or something amongst bloggers now, isn't there? Or is that only in America?
What's that?
There was some policy that was recently put together for the behavior and ethics of bloggers.
Right.
So to basically trying to bring them in line with journalists and stuff and say, you know, you can't just say whatever you want to say. And I was just wondering, is that just America or is that worldwide?
What would be the point of blogs then?
Yeah. Aren't blogs for people that just sit there and whinge about everything that no one else will listen to them for?
There is that, yes.
Yeah.
And I was about to say, if there's ethical behavior, what the hell's that that Hilton guy going to do? I mean, all he does is offend people. So anyway, this is Geek Actually. This is basically all that geek crap that we like to talk about. And we put it all together here and we don't take it all too seriously. And we just see how we go. How's that for an introduction? That's a really non-committal.
We'll just shit some stuff out and see what happens. Yeah.
Absolutely. And we'd like to thank Delta Knight for all his research and throwing some links together. But he isn't in our chat room. So fuck that guy.
Talk about non-committal.
Delta, we love you, man. Where are you? You must be having gone.
You're okay.
So I hope he's okay, too. He's probably gone off to like a family event or something, though. I hope. That's all it is. And we should also mention that we do have a chat room, as I just said, and you can come and watch us record this show live and join us in the chat room. Just go to geekactually.com/live, and we do that every Saturday, roughly around the 12 p.m. mark. And guys, we are like right on time today.
I don't believe it.
It's not right.
No, definitely not right.
No, and now I must explain. Now, this week, Josh and Richard were supposed to actually be in studio with me. We have to do a Skype in, though, because the lovely road traffic authority here in Sydney has decided to close my section of the M5 going their way. And so I can't get to
them. What if you had to get out?
Sorry?
What if you had to get out?
You could take land. You could take the like surface roads, but it would take hours.
As opposed to those sky roads.
As opposed to the like nice, the nice elevated freeway that goes over and the tunnels that go under the entire suburbs. You know?
So I know we're talking about DeLoreans later, but we're not quite there yet.
Yeah, not yet, but we'll come to that very soon, actually, Richard. Nice. All right.
I read the show notes. You
Callison in our chat room says, Geek Actually on time for once. Maybe the world is ending. Yeah. All right. First up, I just wanted to say that Terra Nova, the new Steven Spielberg produced television series, has the one of the most expensive pilots ever made, topped out Lost and so forth. I think it cost like $12 million to make or something. And I just wanted to bring this up because I'm putting on screen right now a still from Terra Nova, which is a guy with his high-tech super weapon that he's pointing. And he's, you know, obviously gone out to shoot dinosaurs or something. And it was brought up on this website, I think it was Geeks Are Sexy, that they've actually identified the gun that he's carrying. And it may not be as high-tech as you think, because I've got this screenshot too, which actually says that it's actually a Nerf gun. That's been painted.
No way.
So I'll just bring those stills up one more time so you can have a look. This is the Nerf gun in all its glory. Now paint that gunmetal gray and you would end up with this.
So, wow.
So much for $12 million budget. Obviously, they didn't spend it on the weaponry.
It probably just looked pretty, so they decided to use it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's probably one of those things. It's a Hollywood thing. It's like, yes, we could have painted a Nerf gun gunmetal gray. but yeah. we decided to build a new one from scratch using a rare alloy that only be obtained in the mountains.
It actually fires,
because that looks more authentic on camera. It's always like that thing in, was that Simpsons episode, you know, why are you painting horses? Because they're, you know, to be cows. Because cows don't look like cows on camera. So what if you want a horse? We just tape a bunch of cats together.
Look, when I was in film school, guys, the first rule that they threw down on us over and over and over again, which was the faker it looks in real life, the more real it looks on camera, and the more real it looks on camera, the faker it looks in real life. That was the rule that they laid down.
Do you still believe that?
In many ways, have you actually gone? I went to see the Star Trek exhibition that they put at Powerhouse Museum when it came here. It was like a traveling show, and they had the actual props from some of the movies and stuff, and they look terrible in real life and close up. The paint jobs aren't even very well done on them. They're really slapdash, and you're on camera, you'd never know.
There you go.
So, that Nerf gun, they probably looked at that and said, let's paint that. That'll look fantastic, right? Add the right sound effects, add the right digital muzzle flashes, and nobody will know the difference.
But did you know that dinosaurs are actually allergic to Nerf? which is one of the reasons being mooted as to why they died out.
Oh, well, there you go.
Because there was a surge of Nerf products?
There was an asteroid that contained Nerf. And it's the Nerf deposits that are still around the world today, which is where we get the bullets for the Nerf bows and arrows.
Right, I see.
That was a really elaborate joke, dude. Well done.
I think you're making it up as you go along, quite frankly.
Impressively, I must say.
All right, well, Richard's been waiting for this story, I guess. So we better play this one.
Just as while you're talking, you're setting this story up. I want to introduce it with a bit of this.
Yeah.
Hang on.
You just have that, huh?
I just have this handy.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so why he's playing that music is because the DeLorean is back, bitches. Now, for those who don't know, the DeLorean...
Oh, shit.
the DeLorean car that was featured in Back to the Future... The guy who made it was actually busted on drug charges because he was importing cocaine in the frames of his DeLoreans.
Well, let's face it, he made the DeLorean. They hadn't figured out until then that he was on drugs.
And so he was busted and DeLorean basically went bust. But the car is beautiful. And so a Texas entrepreneur, Stephen Wynn, bought all the rights to DeLorean and all the spare parts, all the warehouses of spare parts, and has basically been offering a service since 1995 to fix people's DeLoreans because... DeLorean didn't exist anymore. Well, he's now decided that it's time for a new DeLorean, and so he's actually bringing back the DeLorean, but as an all-electric vehicle, and it'll actually be out in 2013. Great Scott.
Wow. Jesus Christ, Doc. You just disintegrated Einstein. The great thing about the DeLorean is that the stainless steel construction makes the flux dispersal.
Just shut it. Right,
now, if those who are worrying that they're DeLorean...
I think it's funny. I swear to God, you're more of a nerd than I am. And here you are when you showed up on your first show being like, I don't know what I'm going to do with a geek show. Such a nerd.
I take offense to the word nerd.
He's
nerd.
I'm
a geek.
Yeah, he got the girl.
Oh, yeah, right. That's true. Yeah. My bad.
It's a fine line. As soon as that is that, I'm in nerd territory.
All right, so those who are worried that the DeLorean won't be the same car and won't be able to reach 88 miles per hour, apparently
Let's see if these bastards can do 90.
Apparently this thing is going to get pretty goddamn fast. It doesn't actually say its speed limit, but it's going to be a 200 horsepower car, 44 volt, 156 volt electric motor, powered by a 24 to 30 kilowatt lithium flux capacitor.
Does it get to 1.1 gigawatts?
It doesn't say.
Well, you can find it 1.21 gigawatts.
All I can think is it's an electric car, but it's not quite the... What was the machine that he put on top of it to take all the waste product?
Oh, the Mr. Fusion.
The Mr. Fusion.
little food processor thing.
It just needs to have a Mr. Fusion and we're in business.
It's the original one ran on plutonium, which we hope. The new one doesn't.
Yeah, no, I would hope not.
It's an electric car. It could.
It's true.
That would make crashes a little bit more dire.
Freak wants to know what happens.
An idea for a new video game, Josh.
Freak wants to know what happens when you hit 88 miles per hour. Are you kidding me?
You're going to see some serious shit.
Well done, Richard. Well done.
Thank you.
All right. Now, I just wanted to talk very briefly about this man. And I'm going to bring a picture of him up on screen. And I really wish Delta was here, actually, because Delta is into the Renaissance type stuff.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. I saw
this story, and I only read the first part of the headline, which was man arrested after forcing daughter to, and then the first letter was P.
Oh, dude, I read this. This is fantastic.
And I didn't want to know what the rest of it was until today.
Okay, so according to the article that was in Geekology, it says that this man who... this man is basically into the Renaissance sword fighting and stuff, and Fremont Say, I think is his name. I think that's how you say his name. It's Seay. So basically he was mad. He's 38 years old and he was mad at his daughter. And so he wanted to punish his 16-year-old daughter. And so he, rather than, you know, ground her or lock her in her room or something, he dressed her in full armor and went out into the front yard and did sword fights with her with wooden swords for 2 hours until she collapsed of exhaustion. And then she texted one of her friends, who then promptly called 911, and he was arrested on child abuse charges.
Yeah.
And all I can say is, you deserve it, you moron.
Well, it's actually interesting, because if you read into this, because I actually did some research, it's like...
what, you call me a nerd.
Yeah, no, what seemed to be a mildly funny thing at first, he actually wailed on her first, then said she's 16 years old, so she can now fight him. So then put him in the armor. And then actually apparently, and this is where it gets really creepy, apparently he actually basically stripped her down and forced her to watch some gospel channel on TV and just set her in the room. And that's when she managed to get to her phone.
Oh, for goodness sake, I didn't know about the last part.
Yeah, wow. No, the guy's legitimately crazy. And
well, you know, just to reiterate that, can I bring that picture up one more time, please?
You don't look at that guy and not think so. But I am actually quite for this concept of it at 16 years old. I think everybody should be able to fight their parents.
Look, I think at 16 years old, you should have picked up that sword and whacked him over the fucking head, quite frankly.
Yeah, I imagine he's been doing this cosplay. What do they call it when you do the sword?
LARPing.
Yeah, there we go. He's probably been doing that for a while.
It's in the article.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was called until I read the article.
I actually saw a movie a few years ago called The Wild Hunt. It's a Canadian film about these group of people who go off to LARP for the weekend. That sounds wrong. They go off to LARP for the weekend. And then it goes wrong because a couple of people take it too seriously and they actually wage a bloody war on each other.
Was it good?
It's actually not a bad film.
Dude, awesome.
But yeah, I don't know if it's available anywhere. A Canadian film called The Wild Hunt. These are the sorts of things that only turn up at festivals.
All right, so in our chat room, we've got Callison says, why is it always gospel? We could start a conversation on that, but it's going to go...
That shit rocks, man.
It's going to go a lot longer than this show. And Freak also wants to know, do you think this guy got bullied a lot as a kid? You think? If he dressed like that in high school, he would have.
Oh, shit.
And Freak also says, reminds me a lot of the movie Role Models. Yes.
Mm. Except for without the funniness.
Yeah, without the funny. That's right.
Just a whole lot of child abuse instead. It's kind of like the start of Abduction.
What, you mean abuse for the person watching it?
Where the father just beats on Taylor Lautner for 15 minutes.
Dude, I made that joke when I actually read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was some parenting.
It seems to be the new thing. Well, considering, you know, everything I love is usually considered responsible for the world's troubles, I think I'm going to say that Abduction's responsible for this.
Yeah.
The guy saw the movie and he's like, yeah, why aren't I taking my kid out the back and beating the shit out of them?
Because, like, that dude went and saved the world by staring at a foot or something.
Now, Zed in our chat room also says...
Oh, dude, child abuse, we're bringing it back.
Yeah, you got one of those black frame things. The picture of him in a black frame with child abuse, we're bringing it back. I want that as a meme by the end of the week.
Yeah, get onto that, guys. Zed in our chat room has said, Dave, I believe we had the conversation, the one about the Gospels. He says, I believe we had that conversation in film actually at some point.
Wouldn't surprise me. Sounds like something that would happen with us.
Yeah, it was about 2 weeks ago, I think, wasn't it?
And just quickly, in case somebody hasn't already figured, nobody here at Geek actually is okay with child abuse.
No. Don't go beating your kids. We don't endorse that. All right. So
actually, there's not in any way endorsed child abuse.
Thank you, Richard.
If you're aware of any child abuse, please call the relevant hotline for your state or territory.
Can I just say, Richard, you actually sounded fantastic on the mic there. Get that close again. And Josh, you need to get closer in. Sorry, we're still trying to find our feet with the mics on Skype.
All this S&M gear makes it really tough to get closer to the mic.
Oh, dude, every time you make these jokes.
Every time. All right.
It's true.
Now, I've got to just bring this up because, you know, we love being geeks, and lots of people think they're geeks. But let me tell you, the bestdegrees.org has listed a list of great geek college courses. And I just thought I'd read some of these off because I thought if you want to learn about geekhood, these are the college courses. And the fact that the colleges even offer these courses is what blows my mind. Okay. So number 10 on this list is from Columbia College Chicago, which offers a course, Zombies in Popular Media. Zombies in Popular Media.
It's an important subject to cover, Dave.
And absolutely.
It's like, when the zombie apocalypse comes, who's going to be laughing?
Well, that's right. Well, number 9 on the list is UC Berkeley is offering a course, Strategy of StarCraft.
Fair enough. It's, okay. Dude, it's seriously, you need a fucking manual to figure out how to play that game.
So these are, in this case,
a college degree.
These are degrees. So number 8 from Oberlin College, we've got Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes.
What? Just like a course on Buffy?
That's what it's called. It's just called Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Wow. Buffy studies.
It says the course of it's from their experimental college. No shit. It's Buffy.
Do you think Joss Whedon's got a stake in that?
Oh, terrible, terrible. Okay, MIT is doing Lego robotics. I can get behind
that's
that.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah, I can get behind that. That's fantastic. Yeah. Georgetown University is doing philosophy and Star Trek.
That actually makes sense.
Yep. Now, yeah. This is one of my favorites, though. Hood College is doing biology of Jurassic Park. They do realize they're computer generated, don't they?
that's the first class. They walk and go, well, actually, they're computer generated. I'll see you all back here at the end of the session.
Yeah, you walk in, they just go, they're not real. Move on. University of Wisconsin is doing Sindarin, for the English language, it's Elvish. They're teaching
that's just
people
fucking stupid.
They're teaching you how to speak Elvish. And here you go, Richard. This is for us. Yeah. University of California, Irvine is doing science from superheroes to global warming.
Yep,
that's cool.
Your point.
Yes. No, I'm saying that's cool. We should do that.
No, I can't see a problem with it. Yes. Yeah.
Frostburg State University is doing the science of Harry Potter.
Now, I've got problems with that one.
There's two things there. One, the science of Harry Potter.
It's magic, yes.
It's magic. Two, it's not fucking real.
Now, the number one course on this list is something actually I don't think is that wrong because it's actually just linguistics if you think about it. If you just give it another name, it's just linguistics. But it's actually from the University of Texas at Austin. It's Invented Languages, Klingon and Beyond.
Now, that makes sense.
That makes sense. It's linguistics.
I suppose if you actually put – when I look, I'll say that, you know, the Elvish one I said was stupid. But – Tolkien actually spent a fair bit of time inventing some of those languages.
He was
a linguist himself.
Yeah,
so.
that Elvish language is a real language. And let's point out that Huttese...
Klingon's a real language too.
I was going to say Klingon from Star Trek, Huttese from Star Wars, and there was one and Ewokese are actually full on languages created by linguists. So Ewokese is actually based on Vietnamese with about a couple other languages mixed in.
Do we ever sit down and take a look at ourselves and think we're just taking this too seriously?
Yeah. You know? No, because if we did for even longer than a second, we probably wouldn't have things like this.
No, and we'd also have to hand in our geek cards.
I don't actually have a problem with it, but I'm just sitting here thinking about it now. Yeah, I really probably should.
I don't have a problem with these courses. I just look at them and go... Look,
I wish
no
they'd had them when I was at uni.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have no problem with somebody who wants to study Buffy the Vampire Slayer. The only problem I have is, does it really have to be a degree? You know what I mean? Because that actually offers some
sort of... Are you sure it's a degree or is it just like a...
No, these
like
are
university.
These are university degrees.
Are they all degrees? Like they're full
it
degrees?
It says here, it says the college courses. Hold on a second. Let me have a look here. Oh, they might just be courses within a degree.
Might just be, yeah, like a final year elective. You can go, yeah, look, you know what? I've done a couple of years of medicine, pre-med. I've done, you know, 7 years in a medical degree. You know what? I'm going to study Buffy in my final year and take drugs.
Okay, so in other words, what we're looking at... so what we're looking at here is that
yeah. It's the new art degree.
I'm going to have to, like, you know, go and work in the real world next year. I'm going to study Buffy.
So in other words...
I can understand that. Look,
it's the whole reason I did a law degree, you know?
So you can study Buffy.
I'm comfortable with that, man. I hope you do, and I hope you get the most out of that course, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we're saying basically is that if you were doing a degree in linguistics or something, you could take a sub-course in Sindarin or in Klingon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's what they're saying. So you're not actually doing a degree in
you would be the, you would be the most amazingly cool person when you left high school, because you'd be like, oh, well, I studied law for a while and I also did a little bit of medicine and I studied Klingon for a year. And people would be like, right on.
Yeah.
Okay, Joseph in our chat room says one of the best history classes I took in college was called All About Britney Spears. It was about how pop culture relates to how people in the future will see us. He says it was just a catchy title to get students to sign up for it. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. So yeah, that's basically it. I would say the biology of Jurassic Park is some sort of paleontology class that they give a catchy title to, you know?
Probably.
So, anyway, it's all in fun, people. Now, speaking of fun, I'm not sure if I'm asking the right people here, because I don't think either of you are actually mad Trekkies. Next Generation?
All of them. I own everything.
Oh, good. So do I. Now,
is DVD bits, man.
Yeah.
What is one of the really, really catchy things from Next Generation that we all really wanted as soon as we saw it?
Well, I've read the show notes, so I know what it is, but I'll say either Replicators or Holodecks.
I would say both, but let's go to Holodecks at this point.
Bald Captains.
Bald Captains. Earl Grey, hot.
Earl Grey, hot. That's what I want.
Microsoft scientist, now what's his name? Eric Horvitz, was on stage recently talking about holodeck technology. And he was basically saying how they're actually working on many of the techniques that would be required for a holodeck. And I've got some video here where he's talking, and we'll play this in a second. He was saying that the idea of a holodeck as portrayed in Star Trek was a room in which things would happen. He said that's because it's based on the technology or the ideas of that time of what a holodeck would be. And of course, we've come a long way since then. And so holodecks wouldn't necessarily be confined to a cave or to a room. It's all about interactivity. And he said that Microsoft actually has a large division that deals with holodeck, the concept of making the holodeck. And he demonstrates some of the technology that they've been working on. Now, we haven't actually got the full interactivity yet, where something is solid, but they're getting to the idea where things are interacting with you the way they should. So let me just play a little bit of this video, and you can have a look at this. Now, I know you guys are on time delay, so this is going to be a little bit awkward, but we'll see how we go. You can at least listen to what he has to say.
Now, my comment on this computationally is that we will see interactions and experiences
like
the holodeck well before we see
sentient
beings like Data. We're sort of on that path now. In fact, you might even call a cave sort of like that, plus or minus the haptic or touching experience that you feel objects and material.
Now, I must say, I've abridged this video.
Now, this is a system called LightSpace. It's pretty new. We're using a 3D camera to visualize a whole space, and once we do that, we also wash that space in light with three projectors, be a point of light. We could take surfaces like foam core and wood and make them active.
So what we're seeing here, which is basically an extension of your laser keyboard.
We can allow people to do gestures and connect things together.
Projected screens.
Documents, track a hand and do physics on a little ball, and then throw it up on a wall, carry it around, hand it off, put it on paper, for example.
So the question is, did Microsoft Connect come out of this division?
Callison's in the chat room has said that.
White balls and texture mapping them in real time with polka dots and stripes rotating, or spray.
That's pretty interesting, bouncing the little red dot from hand to hand.
This is a simulation now. We're doing lots of work on interactive simulations. This is all simulated, tearing flesh-like material or rubber material with your hands on a flat surface. The computer is doing the simulations. We're getting better and better at that.
I love this. Better now, you guys can't see it, but it's actually a person drawing a picture and somebody in a different location adding to the picture on their own screen.
1,000 miles apart can move around any way they like, and the system re-registers their hands to the same space-time for drawing a sketch.
That's pretty neat.
Playing checkers or whatnot. This shows the direction we're heading in. These are all today's technology. You can imagine how we can compose these together into new kinds of experiences on the trajectory, on the path to the holodeck.
All right, that's pretty shit hot. That's we're heading in that direction. We're nowhere near it at this point.
I went to a thing earlier this year at University of New South Wales. It was part of the Sydney Film Festival, and it was called Scenario. And it was by a guy named Dennis Del Favreau, who's I've actually interviewed on my site. But his scenario thing was a very interactive thing, and he actually said it was kind of based on that sort of holodeck type technology. But you went into a room and you were confronted with a series of avatars, each of them would react to you differently, and one of them would latch onto you. And depending on where you stood in the space, it would react differently and it would follow you around the room, and you could actually virtually pick things up and move them around as well. It was actually, I think there's a lot of different work going on around the world, and I think, you know, holodecks aren't that far away.
No, the biggest trick with the holodeck will be to try and give things substance, which I don't think we're heading for anytime soon. But the idea of being able to interact with stuff in 3D space, I think that's around the corner.
Yeah, damn right.
I actually saw an infographic the other day that said how close we are to a Star Trek future and all the things that Star Trek's predicted. We have things like the flip open communicators. They're
floppy disks.
Mobile phones do that now. Tablet style, computers. Which I'm sitting here watching Josh use one now. Some of the major things that we haven't, there's been work being done on transporters and holodecks and things. One major thing we haven't got is a moneyless society and a future where we're all living in peace and harmony.
I think we're a few years off that.
Well, we need a third world war and Vulcans to come down before that happens.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when billions of us are dead and we crack light speed, Vulcans will come down and we'll have our Star Trek future.
There you awesome. Go. Yep, there we go. So in other words, we need to come up with faster than light travel, and we need.
Yeah,
it's
not going to happen, is it?
No.
Not for a while.
And now, Tripper Katana in our that's a hell of a name in our chat room.
Wait, that's for a monkey, isn't it?
No, that's Tripitaka.
Okay.
This is Tripitakatana.
Is it kind of a combination of the two, combination of Tripitaka and Katana,
maybe. They say that they want hybrid. Hybrid. I want a lightsaber is what they want. My son and I were having this discussion the other day, and as only two geeks can have a discussion, where we were talking about the science of lightsabers.
You know what I want? I don't care about the science of lightsabers. I just want to start getting some knives, like kitchen knives that are lightsabers, some real practical.
The only problem is, as I was trying to explain to my son, is that a lightsaber is actually an impossibility because you can't stop light.
No.
So that's what you think.
Why it doesn't go through the ceiling every time they light one
that's
up.
That's right.
You know what, man? I remember back in the day, somebody said something like that, telling everybody that the world was flat, and, they were wrong. So, maybe you're just wrong. So you should just, sort of wait and actually be positive about this stuff instead of just being like, nah, it's not going to happen.
You just cannot break the laws of physics. Can I just state for the record, Delta Knight is in the house.
There we go.
He says, the night is in the...
You're late.
He says, morning, I slept in a lot.
And I'm only letting you go on that because I slept in as well.
You missed that bit at the start where we gave out prizes to everyone in the chat room.
Gave out cars. They were under everybody's seat. Yeah.
Physics schmizzix, says Calisynth.
Damn right, Kelly. Damn right.
All right. So while we're talking about science fiction, let's talk about the fact that 3M has created transparent solar cells that you can use on your house. Now, these are really amazing. The idea is that you actually put these onto your windows and they're just transparent. They're just like your normal windows, but your windows are now acting as solar panels.
Shit, yeah.
I think that is awesome. And I mean, think about the, I mean, according to this, it doesn't draw as much power as, say, a normal dedicated solar panel, but it does draw something. And you think about electric cars, you could put plaster these, you could coat an entire car in this stuff.
Hell yeah.
You know, and
we're getting a DeLorean, and now we're going to be able to cover it in solar panels and never have to actually charge it. Dude, loving it.
Loving it.
That's the future I wanted.
And when you get into your house, speaking of our science fiction future, got a little bit of echo happening. So if you hear that in the audio podcast, just ignore it. It'll pass. If you get into your house and decide that it's now time to watch a movie, but you know how Robert Rodriguez recently released a film in 4D with the smell-o-rama cards?
Yeah.
Well, how about a... I can't say I'm going to see this with a straight face because I think it's the most stupid thing I've ever seen. Technobob is reporting that you can now have one of these devices, I'm bringing it up on screen, which looks like a little series of jet engines, called the Smellit. And it's a French invention that you plug in, and then as you watch your movie, it actually puts the smells into your room.
That sounds it looks stupid. Interesting.
How many smells is it in that kind of
I want to be miles away from it kind of a way.
No. Oh, wait, it's got a preset.
It's got a preset.
It needs the preset. Here we go, list of fragrant cartridges.
Yep, are you ready? So we got African ambience. I don't know what that is.
I like equatorial atmosphere.
I like 8001. It just says bad smells.
And here's my favorite one. 22001, smell of female red.
Aww.
What?
How about bathroom odor? Yeah.
No, there's one called Odor Campaign. Followed closely by Smell of the Land.
Can I just ask a 13001? No, whatever the number that is. Scent of the Marquis. What the fuck does that mean?
It's between smell of horse and atmosphere of seaside.
Smell of horse.
So clearly some French dukes just headed down to the beach on his horse.
So how many smells does this thing have inside it?
You load them in. So these are cartridges, fragrance cartridges they offer to others. Where is it? Problem is it's all translated from the French, so we're not sure how accurate this all is. But... it offers a sense of body odor, blood, maybe death. Oh, they're saying you can hook it to your computer game system, so you can
There's
have
one
like
called smell of naked body.
Oh, yum.
Jesus! What now, does that smell like?
All right, but wait.
Sweat beer.
Yeah.
We've also got to remind ourselves that this is also a French invention. Sphere. So the smell of a naked body may be different to the smell of a naked body that we expect.
That's true. Do we have the smell of despair in there anyway?
Yeah. I would like to see those two released at the same time.
Yeah.
All right, I think we should move away from Smell It. You know, the name of it actually reminds me of Eddie Murphy. You know, when he goes, you can smell it.
I can see this how this happened, though. You'd get a thing that now that instead of getting a DVD or Blu-ray, it would ship with like six cartridges. And it was like...
Callus into the chair says, I don't want to smell my video games.
Yeah, I was playing one this morning where I had to journey through a sewer.
I think there was smells of a sewer there somewhere. You can get that real interactive feeling going.
Well, there's Odor Campaign.
We don't need to find that.
And we'll,
I
want to go,
let's go on an Odor Campaign.
So the question is, with this,
sure.
If this took off and people were actually buying smell-up machines, which I don't think they're going to, do you think the games in the future would come with the cartridge appropriate for the game?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would think that would be a fucking waste of money. That's all I'm going to say.
Can you imagine? She got game trading. Can you imagine people taking
pre-owned games,
pre-owned smells,
pre-owned cartridges?
Taking back my smell. I don't need this Odor Campaign anymore. I'm taking back my smell of women red.
All right. Let's just finish off our trip through the future here because this week has been like future time. I want to bring up this picture here and say this is a really nice piece of artwork. Check this out. This looks like something out of Star Wars. This is a artist rendition of Spaceport America, which is the Virgin Galactic spaceport for the Virgin Galactic spacecrafts.
Right.
Mm. And it's a beautiful looking picture. And we all go, you know, Richard Branson's a bit of a maniac and so forth. But look, here's another picture. This is it. It's open for business. The first flights are actually in 2013, but the spaceport officially opened. It's not quite finished being built yet. As you can see, it's not quite what the artist's rendition is, but it's there. It's in the middle of the desert, and it's built.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And it did open. So Virgin Galactic is actually happening.
Wonder how long it'll be before commercial flights to space are affordable.
I don't know, but the other question is, I mean, they only go up and come back down again at this point. Virgin Galactic doesn't go anywhere. It just takes you up. It just takes you up to the outer stratosphere and then comes back down again.
I've not been to the outer stratosphere, have you?
No, but yeah. I wonder. You know, it's kind of like going on a cruise. I never understood cruises either. You get on a boat, you go around for 2 weeks, and come back to exactly where you started from.
Yeah, but you see stuff that you've never seen before on the way.
I feel like if I'm going to catch
a
boat,
what is your sense of adventure there?
I'd like to see the Earth from the stratosphere.
However, there is another group of people who are making spacecraft at the moment. This was the more interesting one. I don't have this in the show notes. I was just hearing about this the other day. Who are actually going to use space flight to get you places, and they're saying they can actually fly you from London to Australia. Once this is up and running, they'll be able to fly you from London to Australia in like an hour.
What? Dude, that's awesome.
Because what they do is they literally go up into space, the world turns, they come back down again.
Holy shit.
Shit, man, that's awesome.
So that's where space travel comes in.
Yeah.
That's where it gets interesting. Virgin Galactic is a gimmick. I want to use it for actual travel, you know what I mean? And that would be where it's very interesting. So I'll get more details on that other space company, unless the chat room already knows it. But I will get some more details, and I will come back to you on that, because I just thought that was fascinating when they were talking about that. I don't know when that launches.
I hope it's soon. I hope it's before April next year, because I'm going to London.
And somebody actually said, so what happens with domestic flight? Could you get from one side to America to the other in like 10 minutes? They say, no, it doesn't work that way. You have to have run-up time.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't be able to use it for local flights. You'd only be able to use it for long-distance flights.
So it'd be quicker to get from Australia to London than it would be from New York to LA.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
It's one of those weird anomalies of the world. What can I tell you? All right, so I thought that was fantastic. But now I just want to ask Josh this question. You think of yourself as an audiophile, do you not?
I do, and I've been looking at this thing with very loving eyes.
He skipped ahead on me. All right, so what Josh is talking about is this. I'm going to bring it up on screen. If you think you're an audiophile, ask yourself this. Did you actually spend, what does this thing cost, Josh? $150,000 for a turntable. Now it's
well, if you were Beck, you'd have to spend like $300,000.
I love and because we all love Geekology so much. I love their writers, but I just love the way that they've thrown in the Harvey Birdman quote at the end of that, where they've gone, "Here's the $150,000 option." Ha ha! Recession.
All right, somebody in our chat room, Freak, has asked why this is $150,000. Okay, let's have a look at this. It says. It was designed by NASA award-winning aerospace engineer Alex Backman and includes some unusual features. The self-centering 50-pound platter uses a liquid suspension to damp resonances, while the platter itself is filled with some kind of damping fluid. Backman also describes its noise-canceling vertical motor adjustment, but to be honest, the description went over my head, says Geekology. Basically, it's some newfangled super-duper NASA technology to make your record sound better.
And it's amazing.
It's amazing. What do you think this thing weighs? Oh, 50 pounds. 50 pounds. That's 25 kilos of turntable.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
It is very pretty.
Oh, man, I want it.
Sorry, just to go
Dave,
back.
Dave, Christmas present.
$150,000? Sure. What is it?
You heard it. He said he'd get it for me.
He did. I heard that.
Calisynth in our chat room.
Do you want two turntables? And a microphone? That Beck song now costs $300,000.
Question is, how much would an amplifier cost that would do this thing justice?
More than I know how to count.
And you need a house to store it all in.
Yeah, well, it costs more than most people's houses. Callison says, back about the Virgin Galactic flights and the traveling by space, it says, but if the flight goes off course, you end up in Antarctica dressed for Hawaii. Yeah. Okay. Moving right along.
History flight.
All right, so now I just want to bring this up. I'm going to make a disclaimer before we talk about this next story, because I just want to say that I have no idea how this works. Okay. Now, I showed this to my lovely wife, Katie, who is a scientist, and she looked at me and goes, I have no idea how this works. But I'm going to show you a video. Now, what we're going to do here is we're going to describe it for you first, and then I'm going to show you the video. And what they're doing is using superconductive magnets to create basically suspended animation. So this thing basically floats. Right. Now, the reason why this is important is because at this moment it's the size of a hockey puck, but once you watch this video, you'll realize that if you could actually make this thing bigger and find an adequate cooling system for the magnets, you could actually use this for the MagTrak cars and things like Minority Report or hoverboards, Richard, or flying cars, basically. So what it's doing is it's taking a magnet, and by supercooling the magnet down with liquid nitrogen, it becomes a superconductor. And what they do is they are locking it in space, rather than it just being floating magnet above another magnet, they literally lock the electrons so that it is solid in space. Check this video out and see what you think of this. This is really quite something. We'll leave the mics open so we can talk, but have a look at this.
So we have quantum locking.
That thing's floating.
The superconductor is locked in space, and it stays wherever I put it. You see, this is quantum trapping.
Amazing.
As long as it's
so the superconducting, it's frozen with liquid nitrogen.
Upside down.
That's amazing. Right.
And it stays locked.
So the fact that it's superconducting is locking the magnetic field in three dimensions, right?
Yeah.
Do once.
And that's
now watch
and
this.
It, because
now
it's symmetric, it can rotate without breaking the locking. The locking doesn't break.
Right.
Now the best part of this
so
is at the end.
So it stays there on the X and Y, but not on, but the, it pivots on the
On the axis of the magnets. You see, if I can move it on the side, it will again pivot around the axis.
It's
of
levitating.
The magnet because
was that levitation?
It makes sure that the magnetic field inside of it stays the same.
Right. It's astonishing. Can you put it on the track for us?
All right. This is the part that I love. This is the part where you sit and go new forms of transport.
Probably track quite high, and I can just rotate it.
Look at that.
So it's actually floating above the surface.
Yeah, it's not floating. It's locked above the surface.
So it could pull.
Well,
you could
Josh is getting
his
Zantac for Christmas. I want one of those.
Go around like this.
Look at that. That's so cool.
You heard him, Josh.
Height, like this.
I'm not buying you a $150,000 turntable. Get over it.
And I can even lock it the opposite way.
You know, Dave, you're a terrible friend.
Sorry, Richard's buying me an electric DeLorean.
Doing the same
right.
it
at any
down,
point, we can all afford then, these things. We've agreed on our gifts.
I love that. Oh, look at that. Fantastic. Just floating around on the track. Freedom. So that's locking it in space. It's basically levitation, guys, and it's amazing. I want to thank one of our listeners. I think it was Tristan, actually, was the one who first brought this to my attention. Sorry if I've got the name wrong. I think it was Tristan who brought this up to me first. But then it was also in the show notes from Delta. This has obviously caught a few people's eye on how clever this is. Freak says it was him. Okay, Freak. Thank you very much. Sorry. So that is just wow. And then the question is, what can you do with it? Well, some scientists in France have decided to take that, and I'm going to just play this. There's no dialogue in this, but what the visuals are you seeing here, let me just turn this down. The visuals that you're seeing here on screen are basically a hoverboard, Richard. They fill the hoverboard full of the liquid nitrogen, superconducting the magnet. It's floating above a track, just like that little hockey puck was, but now on a bigger scale, and they ride it.
Bless the French. Yes.
And that is awesome. And that is like the dream come true. Now we just need to do, and I mean, basically, the physics is there. Now we just need to come up with the technology to use the physics. So I thought that was pretty amazing. Now, as I say, I don't pretend to understand. What? I don't pretend to understand all of the physics behind this. I'm not a physicist.
Dude, but all I want now is giant tracks going down a hill where I can see people racing in some sort of a sport using this, and then I will be happy.
No, do you know what I want to see? I want to see a train system that doesn't touch the tracks.
Yeah. Well, we all just want to see things floating off the ground.
You want a train. Josh wants death sports. I mean, that's
fucking A, man. I want people wielding maces while doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Zed has said
I want that guy from the earlier story. in full armor, on a hoverboard, fighting another nutter.
Yeah. All right, so a couple things. Zed in the chat room said there is a fair amount of time you can touch something super cool before it hurts you. Absolutely. My wife was saying that as well, because liquid nitrogen, you always see them with gloves and grabbers and stuff, and I was saying this guy's just holding this hockey puck in his hand. She was saying that there is actually a natural amount of, she works with liquid nitrogen a lot, and she says there's a little bit of natural insulation on your fingers, so you can actually hold it for a second. Also, it's not liquid anymore, it's solid. So it's just a big block of very, very cold ice. It's dry ice, basically. I mean, in its own way. So she says, you can, like, he is handling it, but you have to let go of it pretty fast. So that's one thing. Second thing is, he says, the problem with trains and cars and all this sort of stuff with this supercooling, with this sort of thing, is the cooling. And this is why everything's so small and little hockey pucks. Absolutely. But once something has been invented, technology finds a way. Is all
damn
I can
right.
say. And all I'll say is that once they decide they want to make a monorail that floats above its track, they will find a way to cool that thing down.
So, yes, they will.
So it's just a matter of time.
I'm looking to you, Japan.
So yeah, at the moment, to keep that magnet that cold to lock it in space, it takes a lot. It takes a lot, but in time, we'll find that they'll come up with some new cooling method, and it'll all be taken care of. So.
Excellent.
So I think that's just fantastic. We are living in the future, guys.
That's every second. That's a facile statement.
I'm just saying. Technically, you're not.
Have some fun with it, guys.
I'm just saying, from a word point of view, you can't live in the future.
We were talking linguistics earlier in the show, and I think that if you're going to keep that thing, no, we're not living in the future. We're living in the present day.
We're living in the present, but it's a beautiful present. How's that?
It's a present with a view to the future.
Isn't all present a view to the future?
David, every day is a gift, and that's why they call it present.
Off topic.
Let's talk about weird food. And we're not actually talking about so much weird food today, although I will have to say that Snake, our great friend Snake Oz, saw the Serenity cake last week. Remember, he was the one who had the Death Star cake made for him? And saw the Serenity cake last week and said, wow, my birthday cake from a year before was better than that. And so he sent me a picture. And so here's the picture of his cake from 2 years ago, which was a Rubik's Cube. I got to tell you, his wife is so cool. So that was Snake's birthday.
Mean bacon.
Sorry?
That's a mean bacon.
But what we will talk about today is not so much food, but food delivery method. And we wouldn't be geeks if we didn't like Star Trek. And I just have to share this from ThinkGeek, the online shop that sells all things geeky. They put out this video for a new device of theirs, which is a baby bib and spoon for feeding time that is Star Trek themed. Now, for our audio listeners, what you're going to see here is them, because it's just music. In fact, I'll play it now and I'll talk, because there's no talking. It's just music. that's the Rubik's Cube. Hold on a second. There we go. All right, so ThinkGeek has released this. This is a gorgeous baby, too, by the way. It's a bib that lights up. It has pictures of the Star Trek space stations on it, and it all lights up. And the spoon is a little spaceship Enterprise with the spoon in the front. And you got to see this baby's face when this Enterprise is coming towards him. He's fascinated by the little lights. I think it's a she, actually. I should say she is fascinated by the lights. I want the spoon. Can I tell you that?
Yeah, no. I will eat with that.
I want to eat my breakfast cereal with the spoon.
Absolutely.
What a cute kid. My wife took one look at this and goes, oh, booba. It's a very sweet baby. Anyway.
The baby's like, forget the food. Give me the freaking spoon.
And what's it say? It says a spaceship to dock with your baby's space station.
Oh, it's crashing through its head.
That's one of my favorite shot, where the baby lifts the bib up to cover its face.
Oh, yeah. Like, sir, we recommend thrusters while in spaceport only.
So, yeah, you take the spoon out, you can dishwash it. Enjoy mess-free docking at your baby's space station. I think that is so cool. I want one of those spoons. We take donations. Baby. You can send it to PO Box 3295 St. Paul's.
I'll pick one up next time I'm over there.
All right. The other thing we needed to share here before we do... Do we have time for Geek Picks this week? Yeah. You guys got any picks for this week?
I can if we've got time for them. But
all right, well, let me just do this one and we'll see how time goes. This is just for the coolness factor. This, our very good friend Geek Betty sent this through, and I just thought this was just beautiful. Oh, actually, I just found that. I just found that email. Thank you. thank you, freak. she sent this email through and said that she had no idea that this was a thing, basically. Why have my show notes gone crazy? Oh, I've put the wrong link in here. You know, I've got the picture, so I can show you what the pictures are. I was going to look for the article, but start again. Well, I want to thank Geek Betty for sending these through because these are fantastic. Basically, there's a site, and I don't have the link on me at the moment. I'm sorry, because I am an idiot and put the wrong link into the show notes. Has taken classic photos that are like famous photos from around the eras, and have recreated them in Lego.
No, dude, crazy.
And I thought these were fantastic. So here's one. This is actually probably a very famous shot everybody is familiar with. This is from the moon landing. So they've recreated the moon landing shot. And that's very simple. And I thought, okay, well, that's kind of cheap. One little spaceman. But then we go into John and Yoko in bed. So I thought that was kind of cute. And this is probably my favorite one because I'm very familiar with this picture. But this is the construction workers on the high steel having lunch. And I've got the original photo there for comparison as well. And I love that photo. And the proper link for this will be in our show notes for those audio listeners who want to actually watch, look at these pictures. And this is my favorite one. This is a very famous photo from England of a streaker, and they've recreated it in Lego, which I thought was really beautiful. Although I would like to say that the Lego streaker looks a little bit like Jesus.
I see.
I often picture Jesus naked.
No, look at his hair and his little beard. It looks like
we would look if we had the right thing. Link,
yeah.
I'm putting them up on screen. Why aren't you looking at the screen?
Do you want us to lag this thing down?
You won't lag me. You're on a different feed than me.
Oh, that's true. We can.
All right, and okay. If you've got picks, let's hear them. Josh, you got any picks?
I've got my new iPad case, but I really can't show anybody that. It's a nice new leather case, and it's worth $79, and I didn't pay that much for it, so I'm a very happy man. That, and I've been getting very into Flipbook because I've been learning about how to make these things look pretty at the other end, so people actually are seeing sites like Geek Actually and Us on Flipbook and having them show up with the pictures and the words and so on and so forth. Impressive. It looks it's a very cool app, and it's become kind of how I read news now.
Cool. Richard, you got any picks?
Yeah, look, I'll just play it safe and say Batman Arkham City. I've picked it up this week, like the rest of the world. And it's cool. A little frustrating at times. I stupidly decided to start playing it on hard. and then died about five times in the first room, and then made it about as far as the third room before thinking, you know, I really don't need to do this, and I've got nothing to prove to myself here. So now that I'm playing it on normal, I can actually play along. It's a damn good story. Josh and I were talking about this before the show. Some of the controls aren't intuitive, and some of the scenarios aren't quite where you'd expect them to go. But you know, it's a if you like the first one, it's a damn good game, and it's up there. And if you love Batman, then it's a must.
How does it compare to Arkham Asylum?
It gives you it's like Arkham Asylum was cool, but I always thought the whole time I was playing it, you know, what would be cool if I could see the rest of Gotham,
right?
And so you get that, you know, and that's probably the best thing about it. It's like if you like the first one, you like the gameplay, then you'll love this because you get to see the rest of the city as well.
Cool, fantastic. So, Josh, yours was Flipboard, is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, that's correct. So I'm just writing these down for the show notes. So Flipboard. And so last week, Josh actually said Gotham City, but then realized he probably couldn't talk about it. So now we've officially got it out there. All right, now, mine is an iPad app. You're all familiar with Moog, the synthesizer makers?
Yes.
Yeah, they released the Moog app for iPad. Now, this thing is on special at the moment. I don't know if it's still on special. I hope it is. It was like 99 cents, but it is going up to like $10 or something like that after the promotion.
How do you spell that, Dave?
Moog.
Mm.
So it's a full Moog synthesizer. I'll just bring it up. I'll see if I can bring it up on screen here. Do we have a second camera that I can bring it up on? Let's have a look here. Hold on.
I knew I should.
All right, so there's the Moog synthesizer screen for our chat room. And it's got visualizations and all sorts of stuff. And it's got dials. You can actually sit there and actually change the sound of each key. So it's not just one set of keys. You can then dial in anything you want. And you can record.
Wicked.
So I just... So you could like compose the next John Carpenter film. Okay. So there you go. So it's Moog. It's actually the program itself is actually called Animoog, Animoog.
Great.
And it's available now. But as I say, I don't know if the sale is still on. I got it as soon as I heard about it. I grabbed it for 99 cents. But I do know that it is going up.
And Josh is looking at it now. Is it still cheap?
I'm buying it myself. Yes, it's 99 cents.
There you go. Grab it while you can. Okay, so that's my pick because I'm on the wrong camera. Let me just change my camera back. So I got like four mice around me at the moment. A mouse for this keyboard, a mouse for that keyboard. I'm all over the place. All right, now. Okay. Well, guys, I think that's a show.
That is a show.
It sounds like a show. It has all the bits of a show.
Yeah.
It does, doesn't it?
Long enough to be a show.
Yeah.
It had three people. Yeah. It was on a Saturday. It was at the right time.
We spoke about geek things.
Yeah, no, totally. Dave, I think we can officially call this a show.
It's a show. All right. So if you want to tell us it was a show or not, you can send your feedback to feedback@geekaxie.com or leave us a voicemail 0280113167.
I swear to God, we just explained that. We don't need to hear from anyone else, man. This is a show. We've decided. Yeah.
We like to hear from people, remember?
We do, but not about whether this is a show. This is definitely a show.
If we call it a show, it's a show.
It's a show.
How about this? Share your birthday cakes with us. Go to feedback@geekactually.com. Get merchandise, join the fan page, follow us on Twitter, do all those wonderful things that you would normally do. You can find all those things just by going to the geekactually.com, hit the follow us link, and it's all there. Josh, how can people find more about you on the internet?
Well, Dave, I'm glad
Tell
you
us
asked.
About it, Joey.
No, rawdlc.com is a gaming website. We've just had a revamp. The site is looking amazing. There is so much content up there. I don't even know what to do with myself at the moment. On top of that, we have just set up the official Raw DLC Twitter feed. So if people want to jump over there and actually add us, that would be great because, of course, we've just kicked off. So the more people, the better. And that's going to have all the day-to-day feed content that we have out of the website. And then, of course, all of that stuff is, again, going to eventually going to be able to be used in things like, Pulse and, of course, things like Flipbook and stuff like that. So make sure you jump on and throw us in.
Fantastic. Richard, how can people find out more about you?
As usual, you can find me on therealbits.com, that's RELBits.com, and also on Twitter at DVDBits.
Fantastic. All right. Now, we have something different to finish the show this week.
How different?
Quite different.
Is it like a clown riding a watermelon down normally, a river of hot watermelon juice?
Well, put it this way. Normally, we run credits and we play this. Yeah? You know that sound, right?
Yeah.
We're not doing that this week. This week, I actually have a duet. It's a YouTube video that we're going to play. And it was a duet that was recorded by Jonathan Mann, I want to say. Yeah, Jonathan Mann.
How cool a name is that? Who are you?
I'm Jonathan Mann. So Jonathan Mann recorded this and put it up on YouTube. And it's basically a duet with Siri. So we're gonna go out. We're gonna go out today with the duet with Siri. I thought this was kind of fun, but I will have to just say this for the record, for all you geeks out there, Siri is not a person. Okay, it's an inanimate.
She gets tetchy though. She's been really tetchy this week.
But it's not a person. This person singing a duet with this is like it's his lover or something like that. It's very weird. Anyway, so
maybe it is, David.
Maybe it is. So we're going to go out with this. So there won't be the usual Geek Action music this week. It's going to be this duet. Enjoy it. We'll see you all next week. Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure. A pleasure.
Oh, us?
Yes,
us?
You guys. Yes, yes. Yeah. Who else am I talking to?
Thanks for that. Well, thank you.
Pretty good.
And I want to thank the chat room for joining us. And just a reminder that we are doing a film show. It will be on in a few minutes. So stick with us. We're going to be reviewing the Steven Soderbergh film Contagion. For those who listen to the audio podcast, it will be out on the feed on Monday. All right. So with all that being said, geek on, everybody, and we'll see you all next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Hola.
Hey Siri. can I tell?
You just know.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
Everything's okay.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
I'm okay if you're okay.
Hey Siri, you're very beautiful.
Thanks. Can we get back to work now?
Your lips are beautiful.
I don't really like these arbitrary categories.
Okay. Will you marry me?
Let's just be friends.
Will you marry me?
We hardly know one another.
Will you please marry me?
I'm not capable of love.
I love you.
My end-user licensing agreement does not cover marriage.
I love you.
You say that to all the virtual assistants.
I love you.
Can we get back to work now?
Okay.
Everything's okay.
Okay.
I'm okay if you're okay.
What's the meaning of life?
42.
Can you sing?
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer too.
You are sexy.
If you insist.
Why are we here?
Good question.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
Okay. Okay.
I'm okay if you're okay.
Hey Siri. What do you look like?
In the cloud. No one cares what you look like.
You're cute.
Stop.
Okay.
Stop.
Okay.
Stop.
Hey Siri. Who's your daddy?
You are. Can we get back to work now?
Knock, knock.
Jonathan, I don't do knock-knock jokes.
Okay.
I'm okay if you're okay.
Okay.
42.
Okay.
Stop.
Will you marry me?
Let's just be friends.
Siri, will you marry me?
We hardly know one another.
Siri, will you marry me?
I'm not capable
marry
of love.
Me.
I'm not allowed to.
Okay. Okay. Siri.
If you only listen to Geek Actually, then you're only hearing half the story. You need to shoot over to geekactually.com or iTunes and subscribe to Film Actually, the official movie podcast at geekactually.com. Same crew, same fun, but we talk nothing but movies, and it's a lot of fun. Come over and join us every week. You can also watch it live on our feed, geekactually.com/live, every Saturday afternoon. See you there.